Hey, welcome to Getting Work to Work, a weekly podcast for creative professionals and entrepreneurs looking to grow by learning new things, getting inspired, and breaking down the barriers that prevent them from doing the work they were born to do. I'm Chris Martin, and you're listening to episode 68, Interview with Mary Cecchini. Mary is the founder and chief adventurer of Living Big, an adventure and travel company that brings women's vacations to life. I met Mary years ago in a class and have enjoyed watching her travel the world in pursuit of her dreams. In this episode, we talk about the importance of living big, following your dreams, balancing reality, and looking at the world with a wink and a smile. Show notes for this episode are available at gwtw.co/68. Are you looking for more tips on how to get your work to work? Sign up for the Curiosity Lab, my weekly email newsletter at thecuriositylab.net or at the bottom of each show's page. Not only will you get an email delivered straight to your inbox on Mondays with stories and inspiration designed to spark your creativity and curiosity, but you'll also receive my latest guides, Build Your Platform, and DIY Documentary. All right, you ready for this interview with Mary? Take it away, interviewer Chris. Mary, thank you for being a guest on Getting Work to Work. Why don't you start by introducing yourself and what you do?
Awesome. Well, Chris, thanks so much for having me today. I'm excited to be here. So my name is Mary Cecchini, and I started a business called Living Big. Living Big is all about creating inspired adventures for women. It's by women. So that is who we serve. We serve our clients in kind of two different ways. The first way is through hosted adventures. So those are opportunities and trips where we take small groups of women to locations internationally, here domestically, and myself, as well as a small team of women, we are planning the trips. We research them, we plan them, we produce them, and then we're there on the ground with the women to help bring it all to life. And on the second service we offer is travel design, which is when we help craft what those vacation experiences look like for our clients. But rather than going on the trip with them, we do all the legwork to help set everything up in advance so that when the women are on the vacations with their families or partners or friends, they no longer kind of have to be the CEO of their vacation because we've kind of done all that work for them.
So what does it mean to live big? I mean, you called your company Living Big.
I
so
know.
There's got to be a story behind this. What does it mean for you to live big?
There is a story. Actually, living big is an expression that I grew up hearing from my mother, actually. And she would often say it in this way. And this is probably the best way to start to describe what it means. Let's say with my mom, if I was talking about like, oh, I don't know what I should study in college. What should I get as a major? You know, it's a big topic at that point in life. She'd say something like, I don't know, Mary. At the end of the day, it probably doesn't matter so long as you're living big. Mm. And so I guess you can begin to see that living big, it's not so much about having a specific definition. It's more about a culture. It's a lifestyle about how one chooses to kind of approach their daily life. And so for me, I'll tell you what living big means. Living big for me is about really, you know, finding opportunities to get the most out of life. It's about indulging my curiosity, learning new skills, finding ways to relate to new culture, and really helping other women do the same. And so in honor of kind of that challenge from my mom, of that spirit of living big, I've named the company and after that. But really, I'm hoping that culture is contagious to my clients, and perhaps in their own ways, they're figuring out what it means for them to live big.
So not only is it the name of your company, but it's like your mission statement. It's your purpose statement. It's like infused into everything that you do.
It's everything. And it has to be. It's everything from how I choose vendors along the way. It's mm-hmm. to where, you know, we decide to, you know, eat for lunch or dinner. It's to the nature of the conversation around the table, you know, whether that table is in Italy or Spain or anywhere in between. But it's a part of who we are. And it's a big part of also the women that I work with that help me bring it all to life. Hmm.
So we first met in a class called Ignite the Spark as part of HeartSpark.
Yeah.
And when you shared your dream of traveling throughout Europe, I think we were all excited for you, but I don't know if there was this, is she really going to do it? You know, how sometimes we think of that when we hear people's dreams. But then you did it. You quit your job and you traveled in Europe for 5 months. And so what was it like to see years of dreaming, saving, and preparing actually come to life?
Gosh, I'm so glad you said that, because it actually brings me back to like the emotions of that moment, which at the time, kind of felt like it was just the next step of that dream. Because I think we learned in that class and HeartSpark program that visualization is as important as actually doing the work. And I think I had done so much visualization that it wasn't difficult to imagine it coming to life and taking that next step. That's kind of where my head was at the time. I look back now at kind of where I was in that moment. And sometimes I even get a little scared of like, oh my gosh, I did that. Like, how did I do that? I think I realized in that moment, it was my only option where to go. Like I couldn't really contain it in my mind and my dreams anymore. Like it had to come to life. And, one thing I'll mention, because this comes up quite a bit, is that I didn't just decide one day, and you know this, cause we were in the program together, but I didn't just wake up one day and say, I'm going to quit my job and travel. I mean, that sounds pretty darn idyllic and dreamy. It was a very conscientious thought for, 2 to 3 years really, and probably more than that. But 2 to 3 years of active thought, of actively saving, of actively kind of figuring out what that next season of life looked like. And lots of sacrifices along the way to kind of get to that point. So I just mentioned that because I don't want to perpetuate any like dreamy notions of like the realities of like, no, there's still rent, there's still insurance to be paid, there's still groceries to buy. And so, it all has to be factored into the plan.
For sure. And what's awesome though is like you gain that traction, and so you have that balance between your dreams and reality. And how did you find that balance between the dreamy dreams and paying rent?
Yeah, it's a daily practice, I will say. Once you kind of mentioned, I went on this 5 to 6 month trip. I traveled solo. I created space for myself to get clarity on what it is that I wanted and to really visualize kind of how it's all going to come to life. I didn't come home from that trip with the silver bullet of like, and this is what living big looks like. It still took time. It still took years. It's still a living, breathing business model. And so along the way, I had to remind myself to be patient. I've taken on side projects. My background is in marketing and branding. And so I frequently, and even to this day, occasionally take on side projects, and that kind of fuels the piggy bank, if you will, which then fuels the life and growth of living big. And so it is not a sprint, it is a marathon. But because I know kind of where my priorities lie, I'm able to kind of approach that realistically, that it's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take time.
Yeah. Something that you said earlier kind of struck a chord with me, and it's something that I'm reading a lot about right now. And it's this idea of being able to envision your future. So what does that look like to you? Are you like cutting pictures out of magazines and putting them up around you? Or, are you a Pinterest fanatic? I mean, how do you envision what you want to do?
All right, this is going to get real. Are you ready for like the honest truth of what it looks like?
I am.
So you remember back in the day when we were in the HeartSpark class, you mentioned one of the tools we gained about how to practice visualization was through, gosh, I can't remember the exact name of it, but it was this exercise utilizing those purple cards. Do you remember the purple cards?
I do remember the purple cards.
Okay, so for all of your readers and listeners, I'll kind of explain what the purple cards are all about. So the purple cards were these small index cards where we were challenged to write out statements, first person statements that represented what our life would look like when we're living and breathing kind of our dreams or our goals or the vision or, whatever it is in your life. So for me, I wrote statements like, my family appreciates and sees the value of me being an entrepreneur. Or it would be another statement might be, my work shows up in my clients' memories and photo albums and journals. Another statement might be, you know, I have a broad worldview because I have taken the steps and made the effort to connect with local cultures. And so it's things along these lines. Now, those purple cards I still have, and those statements haven't changed, and they are actually pinned to the inside of my vanity mirror in my bathroom. And every morning when I'm, you know, drying my hair or brushing my teeth, I look at each of those cards, I read each statement, and I allow my mind to kind of sit in it for a moment and to really imagine what that would look like, what that would feel like. And it keeps all of those thoughts top of mind. And so it is very, very clear in my mind kind of what that future state looks like and how it feels, how people around me are impacted by it. And so that's how I do it. And for me, it's been the tool I've used for years. I travel with those purple cards, but the vision doesn't, not a day goes by where it doesn't escape me.
That's awesome. I need to go back and look at my purple cards. I wonder if they're anything like what my life is like now.
Well, you never know. Yeah. Could be. Or it could be time to make some new purple cards.
I might need to make new purple cards. So you quit your job. You go on a 5-month trip to Europe. What did your employer, family, and friends say when you packed up and left for 5 months?
Well, there was a mixed reaction. I think there were comments like, oh my gosh, she's actually doing it. Like, I think, you know, probably similar to what you had said earlier, people were like, is she really going to do this? There were a lot of people in my world that were huge champions. They thought it was incredible and amazing. And you know, I wish I could do that. And, you know, there were also, you know, I would say some more traditional schools of thought of going, why is she walking away from this like amazing job? You know, there's growth potential, 401k, you know, all those shiny things that offer lots of financial comfort. And so there's a whole gamut. And that was actually really interesting to be on the receiving end of it. It did force me to really think through what it is I'm doing, what my plan is, and kind of what the point is of doing this experience. And so it did help me kind of think through what it was I was embarking on. But because I had lived in my mind for so long, it didn't seem really scary. And when I started hearing other people kind of project like their own fears for me or own insecurities or wonders, it took an active thought to resist that and to not let that impact me and to keep me on my own track.
You know, it could be easy for you to keep living big for yourself and travel solo wherever you go, but instead you poured your heart and soul into a company that provides experiences for professional women. Why was that important for you to do?
Well, I think it would be lovely, yes, to continue just traveling and seeing the world. But it gets to a point where, as fun as that is, at least for me, there needs to be an anchor. Like, there needs to be a purpose to all of it. And for me, that purpose became clear when I was traveling for about 5 to 6 months. At that time, I kept just kind of a simple blog, and I would write stuff about what I was learning and where I was going and travel tips. I mean, it was a whole gamut. Probably not my best work, but it was kind of my first forte into that world. And I would hear from women who would respond with questions like, how'd you get there? How'd you find that? Or gosh, how are you doing this on your own? I'm so scared to do it. God, I could never do anything like that. Like, I started hearing a lot of these comments, and then it started evolving into, gosh, can I come travel with you someday? Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of my first window into seeing that perhaps the gift that I might have to give back to my community is being someone that enables these experiences to happen. Because I had personally experienced kind of the ahas that come with travel and just the amazing things I'd learned about myself, about the world, about other cultures. And I wanted to share that. Like, that kind of became what the focus is, like, okay, there is something really special here that comes easy to me. Like, it is, I think, a part of who I am. I look at the world through this lens, and that became the mission. And after my first trip, the first trip I ever hosted for women was in Costa Rica in the fall of 2014. And I knew almost immediately, once the trip got started, like, I had that cool feeling in your stomach, like, okay, this is it. Like, this is what I am here to do. And since then, I haven't looked back.
That's awesome. When you're having that moment and you're surrounded by all these professional women that are on this journey with you, how has that changed what living big means to you?
Oh gosh, that's a great question. Let me take that back. Early on when I started the business, it was very much about connecting women with these unique travel experiences and cultures. But what I didn't fully understand until I started having these moments of aha was the opportunity was actually so much larger. It was as much about sharing these experiences and cultures as it was about helping women kind of find their own ways to live big. And that comes from things that I don't even have a say in, but maybe I'm helping to facilitate. So it comes from how women feel when they're on these trips, you know, when they realize like, gosh, I don't have to be in charge at this moment. It comes when women get to interact with the other women on the trip who maybe come from completely different backgrounds, both personally, professionally, geographically, and to be able to watch what they learn from other women and kind of how they grow and perhaps begin to shift how they view the world. And so it's coming in so many different ways that I don't think I fully realized that potential. But now that it's gotten started and I see the bigger potential at hand, it fuels me to keep it going. And I mean, you know this, Chris, like it is hard, I think, starting a business. Mm-hmm. It is difficult to manage. Figuring out what scale and growth looks like is off. Those are sometimes scary conversations. Mm-hmm. But you know what? It only takes another trip where I see those ahas, I see those women bonding and learning and connecting, where it's the fuel I need to kind of get my feet on the floor at most mornings around 5 or 6 in the morning and tackle long days. But I know what it's going towards, so it makes it all worth it.
So you know what it's going towards, but when you're having those down moments, when you want to give up and quit, you know, what motivates you? What encourages you? What do you remember? What do you think of when you just want to give up?
Yeah, those moments are inevitable. Like I often will tell other people when they come to me and say, oh, I'm thinking about starting a business. I'll often ask them, I say, do you love this work so much? Like, tell me how much you love it. And is that love and passion strong enough to like propel you forward when you inevitably start having to unpack the boxes that have zero to do with your passion, like finances, legal, insurance, you know, like you're going to need every bit of wind at your sails. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I know I intuitively love this business. I love the work. But it doesn't mean that it doesn't get hard sometimes. And so the things that I will often refer to, I look back at photos with trips. I see the smiles on the faces of the women that I travel with. You know, many of them will send cards or write notes that I still keep kind of plastered around my office or on my fridge. And I'll read back and I'll read their words about what that experience meant to them, whether it was time and space away from the things that are really challenging in their life, whether it open their eyes to a new culture they've just never experienced. And that kind of is the fuel that really helps me keep going.
What has been your most memorable moment in your journey of living big?
My probably most memorable moment, I received an email from the Huffington Post, and that felt really surreal. And I don't know if I like fully embraced it. In that moment, I was just kind of like, what? Is this real? And then I think it started to sink in that when I received that note, I was in Florence. I was living there for about 6 weeks last year. I had this like amazing like apartment. I mean, it was like the size of a closet, but it was this amazing apartment, this great rooftop deck. And I was sitting on that deck and the email came in and it was like, it kind of hit that like the dream was there, like it was happening and like it was getting noticed. And it perhaps wherever at that time, I didn't know what was going to happen with this Huffington Post invitation. But I knew that it was going to perhaps lead somewhere that would enable more women to kind of come into the community of living big and be a recipient of the work that I'm doing. And so that was a really memorable moment once it all kind of sank in.
A memorable moment for me in talking with you is how you describe the thought process of creating these experiences for women. And I remember explaining, I don't remember where it was located, but I remember how you were explaining that you wanted to create this moment where they got off this cable car, I think it was, and they come down the path to reveal like a picnic lunch.
Yeah.
And it's like, how do you come up with these moments of and these experiences that are going to blow people's minds?
Well, a big part of it is research. Like I, and you know, that's the fun part, right? I mean, it's like I have to go into, go to a destination and soak up all of the experiences. I'm a super visual person, so like there's no other way for me to do it, and begin to imagine what it would be like to recreate it for the first time, of like what are the circumstances that would need to be true or need to exist in that moment in order for everything to kind of crescendo at the same time. And I spent a lot of time, I mean, honestly, it's a lot of plane time, was where I kind of imagine like, oh God, wouldn't it be cool if, and I, you know, and that's kind of the way I tackle and try to recreate those moments. I can't give it all away because part of it is it's how it's experienced. So I gotta, you know, keep some of it in, but yeah, like I'm this summer, I'm heading up to the Canadian Rockies for a research trip, and I have a good number of things in mind that I want to do and see. But a lot of it, I want that community or that area and those residents to help me see what story it is that they have to tell, and then how can I kind of create the right circumstance or the right environment or culture to where those stories can come to life, and then, you know, maybe what's a little magic that I can pepper in to make it extra special.
How do you connect with people in other countries in order to create these experiences? Because what you just described is this not just magical, but a very human-focused, you know, relationship-oriented view of the world, going into these places where you're not known and
totally.
And finding relationship. How do you do that?
God, I don't know. I wish I had like a secret sauce. And maybe I need someone to come travel with me and then, you know, mirror back to me. But it is a unique way of doing it. And I find it's really funny. Like when I go into certain markets, I can tell other people in the travel industry don't really know where to put me. They don't really know how to organize me into like the way that they view travel agents or the travel industry. Because yeah, I'm knocking on the door of the hotel owner. I'm like, hey, can I get a tour? And tell me like, why'd you start it? Like, why did you build it this way? Or, what was your vision for this hotel? What did you want it to be for your client? And like, I'd like to have those conversations. And I think they're kind of like, are you interviewing me or are you just care? Like, they don't really know what to do. Yeah. But I find that those are the stories. That's the context that I need to really evaluate them as the right partners for the trip and to begin to see how they could be storytellers that will help my clients really begin to digest and understand what these cultures are all about. I view them all as storytellers that are a part of the journey. I don't view that as my role. I mean, I'm the facilitator. I'm there to make sure that the women are having genuine connections with one another. And then certainly logistically it's all coming about, but these are the stories for the people who live there to tell. And so, you know, I'm looking for those people. I mean, gosh, Chris, I don't know how I meet them all. I mean, sometimes I'll meet them at a bar. Sometimes I'll meet them on a walk. I was just in Kauai in January researching a trip for 2018, and the hotel I was staying at offered like a daily guided walk along the beach. And so I thought, okay, well, I'll go do that. Well, as I start talking to the woman who's facilitating this walk, I start to learn more about her life. And, you know, she has this like amazing culinary background, and, you know, this is just one of her freelance gigs, and she does all these other things. And it was like in that moment where I realized like, okay, I don't know what you're going to do on the trip that I host to Kauai, but like, I want you to be a part of it, because she had like the energy. She had the, you know, in Hawaii they'll describe it as like the mana of her culture and people. And so I, at that moment, I was like, we're gonna be friends and we're gonna be business partners. I don't know how, I'll get back to you. But a lot of it's just organic, and that's a big part of why I think on the ground research has to be a part of it, because it's these are things you're not going to find on TripAdvisor.
For sure. I love what you said earlier about indulging your curiosity, and it's, I think being curious is what you're describing in these experiences and these moments, is that you're legitimately interested in what they have to offer in their story. Did you get permission to be curious, or was it something that you just decided to do?
I think actually my curiosity is probably something I've had my whole life. I think as I got older, I probably saw it come to life when I started traveling, because I didn't grow up thinking like, I'm going to own a travel business. Like, no, I mean, that never even crossed my mind until probably my mid-20s, but I think it's the curiosity is what's at the core of it, that I probably you know, I'm curious about all things in life, but I see it come to life in a really unique way when I'm traveling. And that is what kind of gets me into new conversations and to wandering a city and kind of uncovering the rocks that eventually kind of become some gems on the trip.
Something I read often is the importance of minding the gap in your resume. Is that an issue for you? How do you explain what you do to potential employers when you're looking to fund your dream?
Well, I don't often give my resume out anymore, but it often comes up. Let's say I'm maybe going after some freelance work between trips, and I'm really proud of that work. I consider it work. It might not have been for hire work those 5 to 6 months I was gone, but it was a huge investment in myself. And I would argue that anyone that kind of goes on their own sabbatical of sorts, that is an investment in you. And that's equal parts like understanding who you are, understanding what you're the best at, understanding what gifts you have to give the world. And employers or companies that maybe hire you on a freelance basis are the recipients of all of that knowledge and insight. And so I haven't come across anyone that looks down upon that. I think if anything, they wish for that to be a part of their own life. Yeah. And honestly, it's a great conversation starter in an interview. So if any of your listeners have that gap and, you know, are feeling insecure about how to defend it, I would say be proud of it and walk them through what you did and what you learned and where you went. And it's an opportunity to be human and to be vulnerable. And if an employer doesn't realize and appreciate that, then in my book, they're not the right fit.
How can creative professionals and entrepreneurs stay in touch with those daily moments and experiences in order to live big? I mean, it can be so hard when you're in that daily pursuit to live big. I mean, how do you think they can do it?
Well, I mean, I've said before, I'm a very visual person. So that is how I do it. Like, I have to keep those reminders around me, whether they are the note cards I mentioned, photos from trips. Sometimes I will, if I'm in a down mood, I just will do a little like scan of my own company's Instagram account just to be reminded of those experiences. I would say another thing, and it might be more specific just to my industry, is that I'm very focused on how to achieve measurable growth. Like, I don't aspire to be the female Rick Steves, because what I've learned from my years, you know, as a marketer in the corporate world, is that the further up you get, that often means you get further away from your end consumer. And to me, if that day were to happen in Living Big, I know that Living Big would no longer fuel the part of me that craves that connection with my consumer. And so I always am making sure that when it comes time to grow, when I'm thinking of growing, I'm not doing it at a cost to that connection. And so what that means in, you know, daily practice is that I'm still, you know, the one that's, you know, email, when you email info@livingbig.org, like, it's still me, the one that's responding, that I'm still having those one-on-one connections and conversations with my clients, that, you know, I'm still negotiating back and forth with that, you know, boutique hotel owner in Chiang Mai that I met. And because it would be tempting to like farm that out. And certainly that's what I think a lot of, you know, bigger agencies do. But for me, the shine would be gone if that happened. So that doing those kind of things, even though it might sometimes mean more work, is a big part of me maintaining motivation to keep on doing it.
Yeah. I think another thing too that really separates you from a lot of people, apart from everything that we've been talking about today, is something that I was reminded while I was writing the intro and outro to this episode, was that everything you do with a wink and a smile.
Thank you.
And I remember that came out of HeartSpark, is that you were like, wink and a smile. What does that look like in your daily life? You know, how do you show up with a wink and a smile?
You know, I don't, gosh, I'm maybe a little uncomfortable saying this, but I think in some ways, maybe that's just who I am. And so for me, that's probably giving myself the freedom to just show up as myself. And, you know, that's equal parts quirky. Maybe sometimes it has that cheeky wink or funny, But it would be easy to get down on the work sometimes. It would be easy to overwhelm by it. And there's days that it still is. But I think the Winx stays because I'm showing up as myself. And that's perhaps the best I can do and what I think best serves the business and my clients.
Yeah, for sure. So you are obviously excited about a lot of things, but what are you excited in particular about right now?
Oh, gosh, the things that give me the most energy, right? The things that cross my mind at 5 a.m. the alarm goes off. I'm in the process of looking at kind of the next chapter of what Living Big looks like. And I don't want to reveal too much because some of it's still in development. But I would say in the last few months, I've certainly been working hard to expand Living Big, specifically our domestic program. So those are trips that are anywhere between 2 and 4 nights, and they're here in the United States. And so I get excited about that because I think that is a lightweight way for women to kind of come into the community and culture of Living Big before committing to a big international trip. A big part of doing that work is partnering with other women to host trips. And so I love just that kind of mentoring work and onboarding work and finding women that have a kind of similar skill sets and ambitions, but maybe don't want to do it full time as a business. And so I'm able to kind of create a project opportunity for them. So that's really been fun and exciting. And then I have some projects in the works, give you a sneak peek about building a Living Big on a local basis. So I'm kind of pivoting on the way I do that in the future, loosely as something to do in the realm of an adventure club in Portland. So stay tuned for more.
Awesome. Well, Mary, thank you so much for taking time out of your day and being a guest on Getting Work to Work. It's been a pleasure, as always, to talk with you.
Oh, likewise, Chris. It's been so fun to chat, and thanks for giving me an opportunity to share more about Living Big with your audience.
You bet. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
That does it for this episode of Getting Work to Work. Thank you so much to Mary for taking time out of her day to share with me about her passion for living big, whether it's in her hometown or an exotic location halfway around the world. And thank you for taking the time to listen to Getting Work to Work. It means a lot to me that you're here. Would you be willing to share this podcast with your friends and other creative professionals and entrepreneurs? Subscribe on iTunes and Android devices by clicking the subscription links found at gwtw.co. Would you like to be a guest on a future episode of Getting Work to Work? Or maybe you need some advice? Drop me a line by sending me an email. I'm Chris at chrismartinstudios.com, or you can find me on most social networks. I'm at CM Studios or at GWTW Podcast on Twitter, at Chris Martin Studios on Facebook, and at CM Studios on Instagram. The next time you think that you are trapped in a dead-end day job, keep dreaming, keep building, keep saving, and keep preparing for the day when you yourself can live big. Until next time, may creativity and curiosity fuel your life.